Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, the place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. And I'm David Todd of ESPN Pittsburgh and the Steelers Radio Network. After a little bit of a hiatus and a little vacation for me, we're back at Season 6, Episode 78. And great work from Alex down at the Super Bowl. And Dave, appreciate you making it without me a little bit. I know we had some technical difficulties, screwed some things up, but... Yeah, a lot to get to. We've got the games to recap, to just touch on that a little bit because that's old news now. But Art Rooney put the bat signal out yesterday and got things started talking about the Steelers season. And, you know, look, Art's not the controversial type, you know, not a lot of breaking news or you know, off-the-wall opinions. But let's start there. And was there anything in particular from what Art said that jumped out at you?
First, Alex is at the Senior Bowl.
What did I say, the Super Bowl?
Yeah, the Super Bowl. I thought I time warped there for a moment. Perhaps something happened, and Alex probably would have a big bill for me, a bigger bill for me as well. Yeah, look, I mean, we knew it was only a matter of time, and it's kind of funny how we kind of refer to it as the bat signal going up, but really that's the best way to kind of characterize it. It usually happens like, 2 weeks after the Steelers season officially ends. That, of course, was this week. I kind of thought it would have happened Wednesday, but Thursday was the day. What did he tell us that maybe we didn't already know? Probably not too terribly much. I thought, and this is probably a good place to start. And while he didn't name names, Rooney said that players that the team has significant financial stake in can/will be given more opportunities to prove themselves. Who do you think he's talking about, David?
Well, obviously, Cortez Allen's a guy who jumps, you know, when you're saying prove yourself, you can't be talking about a guy like, you know, Lawrence Timmons or anybody like that. Those guys have proved themselves. The guys who have, you know, significant financial stake in who haven't proven themselves, I mean, there's one front and center. It's Cortez Allen.
Yeah, and Will Graves from the Associated Press, you know, he asked specifically about Cortez Allen, of course. What does demurred mean, David?
Demure. It means shy and reserved.
Okay, well, that's what Rooney was when asked about Cortez Allen. See, folks, not only do you get football education, you get me learning English on the Terrible Podcast as well, too. Am I shocked by that, David? If indeed
you and I have said from day one that we're in the minority here. Most of the beat writers think they have absolutely cut in ties here. We have said from day one that it doesn't make any sense not to bring him to camp.
Right, and can he be released after that? Absolutely. And as I laid out again for the upteenth time on Steelers Depot yesterday, you know, it only makes sense to do that. A, because of when you look at the depth that lack of depth that the Steelers have right now at the cornerback position. We'll have to see what happens with William Gay. We'll have to see what happens with Antoine Blake. You know, and on. We'll have to see how the draft plays out as far as cornerbacks go. The Steelers will only save, and I say only because it is only $1.7 million in salary cap space prior to what we like to call roster displacement in the top 51 salaries should they release Cortez Allen prior to June 1st. $1.7 minus, you know, displacement in the top 51, you would save $1 million basically in real cap space by cutting Cortez Allen loose now. Now, if you carry him throughout the rest of the off season into training camp, You give him a chance to reclaim the starting spot, and if he doesn't, or if he has, you know, God forbid, you know, other issues, you clear $4.4 million in cap space prior to roster displacement by cutting him post June 1st. Now, the unfortunate with that is because you saved the $4.4 million in 2016, you would then have a $2.7 million dead money charge for Allen in 2017. So if you're a Steelers fan, you know, Dave and I understand the want to go ahead and throw that baby out with the bathwater. However, you know, try to look at this, you know, on the positive side in the fact that, you know, maybe Cortez Allen is able to straighten himself out. Maybe he does enough to win that starting job back for the 2016 season, and then you have it, you know, your financial stake in the player has been saved somewhat. And I think that's the best case scenario, obviously. And I think Steelers fans, as we've said all offseason, should be prepared for him to be in training camp at La Trobe.
Okay, so that's point one. Now, point two. Ed Bouchette said at some point in the past week that the Steelers wouldn't I can't remember his exact phrase. It was something along the lines of break the bank, or they wouldn't, you know, go out of their way. Or, you know, just said in terms of talking about re-signing Le'Veon Bell. And you and I maybe had a little disagreement about this. I want to be very clear about my opinion about this, and you can either agree or disagree or take it wherever you want, Dave. But look, the Steelers are going to have to break the bank to get Le'Veon Bell. He is going to get paid $12 million, 10, you know, 11, 12, $13 million. He's not getting $8 million a year. He is going to get the big-time money. Now, I'm assuming he's going to recover from this knee injury, because obviously the whole conversation's moot if he doesn't. But we saw Todd Gurley come back from something. Le'Veon Bell is a unique guy. So if the Steelers want Le'Veon Bell, and the people I've talked to who talk to the people in the Steelers organization think that they do, then he's going to get a contract that's commensurate with the top guys in the league. And, you know, Adrian Peterson's the top guy in the league, and he's making $12+ million. So, you know, if the Steelers want Le'Veon Bell for 4 years, don't be surprised if it's a $50 million contract. Because otherwise he's not going to be playing for the Steelers. So I think Ed was completely wrong in what he said in terms of the Steelers having Le'Veon Bell and not breaking the bank, because those two things aren't happening. They're going to have to break the bank to get Le'Veon Bell back. Now, all of us can agree or disagree whether that's a good idea or whether they'll do it. But if you listen to Art yesterday, he certainly suggested. And the Steelers have always, they're marquee players. They have always paid them and kept them. There's almost nobody who's a marquee guy. You can look at maybe a receiver, and don't throw Keenan Lewis at me. There's maybe, you know, you can look at a receiver like Plex or somebody else that left, or Mike Wallace. But if Le'Veon Bell's going to be a Steeler, he's going to be making eight figures for sure, and, you know, maybe well into eight figures.
I still differ with you as far as the average yearly value goes. Now, let me ask you this. Do you consider breaking the bank still at $8.5 million average per season? Or do you?
I think that's way off market.
I have been good in the past at kind of predicting these things. It doesn't mean that I'm going to be right on this circumstance with Le'Veon Bell. I will personally be surprised if he gets an average yearly value of $12 million. Regardless, the guaranteed money, you can make these figures look 18 different ways when it comes to average yearly value. I think the key thing here is the guaranteed money, as we talk about all the time. And when you look at other contracts with running backs around the league, that have been doled out recently, you would think the lowest percentage of the of the guaranteed would be around 35% of that. So In short, I think I will still – I think they get something done with him. I don't see how you can't, because if you don't, then that means after the 2016 season you have to – if you want to retain him, you're going to have to slap the franchise tag on him.
What did Antonio Brown get, 543? Was that his numbers?
What do you mean? Total value for Antonio Brown?
5 for 43.
Boy, it's been so long. It wasn't that high, was it?
43 is a number that sticks in my head for some reason.
Oh, you said 40. I thought you said 53. 5 year, 41.7.
Okay. So they paid Antonio Brown way back when $8 million a year. And this is a situation where you don't have to worry about the guaranteed money because he's so young. Now, Le'Veon Bell, yeah, same thing. You don't have to worry about the guaranteed money. Now, look, injury might save the Steelers on the backside, but the guaranteed money for Le'Veon Bell is more or less going to be irrelevant for a guy who's 24 years old at that point in time. So it's always important to think about it that way because it gives the team an out. And, you know, when you're talking about a guy on the backside of a deal and when he's 30 years old, it makes all the difference in the world. But it's like Ben and his contract that he signed. We can say whatever about the guaranteed money, but it's a $100 million contract. He's going to get every dollar of it. So,
well, here's something to keep in mind with Antonio Brown. 20.3% guaranteed. That was, that was a steal.
Well, it doesn't matter. They knew he was going to play the contract out.
Right. But I'm talking about it from the player's side. Do you think Le'Veon Bell is going to accept something with guaranteed?
Yeah, but again, you know, I don't know that it's all that important here. You know, yeah, it's not going to be 20. It's not going to be 20%. It's not going to be 50%. It's going to be a number in there in between. I mean, you're not going to get, I don't know, what was Ben guaranteed? 40, 50, 60 out of the 100? You know, but Ben's going to get it all, and it wasn't all paid up front. So it's just, how much is he going to get paid up front? But, you know, he's going to get, I think it's going to be a kind of, I don't know if they'll go 5 years for the running back. Maybe they will, but.
Well, it makes sense to have the 4 year extension on top of 2016.
Right.
Because you can stretch out the signing bonus a maximum of 5 years. So it will be a 4 year extension.
Okay.
Five year total contract.
I'll make you a bet, Dave, that 4 years, and I'll make this favorable for you, because I'll put myself on the high side of the line. I'll bet that he gets a $48 million deal, period. I bet that's I'll say the minimum is $48 million, $12 million average annual value.
Okay, well, that's a five-year deal though, right?
No. He's getting paid for this year, so it's going to be a four-year extension for $48 million.
Well, then you have to look at it at a five-year deal though, because he's only due less than $1 million this year.
Yeah, but
it's a 4 year. So you're talking, okay,
new money.
So let's be, you're talking new money.
Yeah, $48 million.
So you're talking $48 million. Now you can't, and you would divide that by 4 years, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I still think that's a little high. In my opinion.
Okay, but you're talking $8 million. That's 32. You know, your $8 million a year would be 32. I'm at 48.
Right, but mine was taken into account 5 years total. Not just new money.
Okay, but I'm way higher in 4 years than you are in 5 years. So I don't understand you.
Okay, yeah, I mean, we're splitting hairs here.
New money, $48 million over 4 years. Where are you on 4 years new money?
$43 million.
Okay, so we're not that far off. I thought you were kind of $8 million a year kind of new money. So, all right, so that's going to be. You know,
because I mean, it's all going to be new money for the most part, because he's scheduled to earn less than $1 million.
What I didn't understand is I thought, you know, when we talked last time and you were talking about eight and a half, you didn't think they'd really get to 10. I think they're going to get to 12.
I guess the semantics here is dividing it out over over new money the amount of years. I think what did I put down for Bell as far as a new contract goes? Hold on here, and I'll pull that up for you. I think I said 40. Let's see. Where's my writing here? Okay, a 4-year extension, 5-year deal worth roughly $42 million.
Okay, so $42 million versus I'm at 48. Not that far apart.
So 42 divided by 4, if we were to take my numbers as
you're at 10 and a quarter.
I would actually be at $41 million in new money.
Okay, so right? Yeah, so just over 10.
So 10.25. So you're saying, yeah, I mean, we're not far off when you look at the year.
Well, yeah,
you
know, we're about $2 million a year off because I'm at 12. So,
and that's it's a doable deal. I mean, even I guess if you went as high as your 48 million over 4 years, I mean, more money is more money though. And where the specifics will come in will be, of course, a percentage of the guarantee.
So let's go to this. Let's get away from the money for a second and say, A, will it get done? B, should it get done?
Yes and yes.
I think I'm with you. I think there are a lot of people, you know, we're just going back to the running back thing. They paid D'Angelo Williams $2 million this year, and it was an extraordinarily good deal. Obviously, it worked out great. And you can get a guy in the draft for $1 million. Is Le'Veon Bell worth a $10 million premium a season to have his elite skills?
The agent, when this deal gets done, will frame it as a 4-year extension worth whatever the money is, because it looks higher average yearly value. So, you know, I think we've agreed for some time that is not a guy that you want to let walk.
Yeah, I agree with that. But like I said, I absolutely think it's the conversation is a good conversation to have, because I think it's different than Ben or it's different than Antonio because of the running back position. So and because you can get a guy for a couple $1 million who can be pretty good. And, you know, this is. You know, the defense is so questionable and all that stuff. But, yeah, I think it would get done and I would do it.
Yeah, I would as well, too. So, Art Rooney, the second, when he talked to the media, gave no indication. I mean, he wants Le'Veon Bell there for the long haul, and he believes Le'Veon wants to be there for a long haul. So now I think more than anything it's a timing issue, and I think Rooney kind of said that. There's no specific time frame of when that will get done. One would think that based on the history of the franchise and then the fact of the fact that he's still coming off of a knee injury, that it such a deal would take place during training camp.
Okay. So, and was there anything else that was notable?
He had no issue with Mike Tomlin's clock management last last year.
I don't think that's what he said, right?
Well,
he doesn't
said,
pay attention
I,
to
it. Here's a direct quote from Chris Bradford. I think Mike's record speaks for itself, and I'm sure that Mike would tell you, no matter what subject it is, if he can figure out a way for us to be better at it, he'd be open to it. He went on to say, I felt like the San Diego game was a good example where we scored with no time left on the clock to win the game. That's what you want. So it's not something I spend a lot of time worrying about.
Right.
Not as much as you.
He should spend more. Well, there's actually, no, he shouldn't spend more. Mike should spend more. I don't really care what Art has to say about it. It's not his. He lets the coaches coach, just like Mike lets his coaches coach.
But admit that you put him under the microscope more because you watch all 16 games during the season. And I mean,
I'm sure Art watches all 16 games, right?
Well, what I'm saying is if we went game by game on 200 and something games during the regular season, you know, where do you think Mike Tomlin would rank in your eyes? I mean, let's admit it, just because you have issue with the clock management doesn't mean that you're right all the time.
Oh, of course not.
But, I mean, we're – in other words, this happens on a week-to-week, game-to-game basis probably where you could circle situations,
no,
right?
No, it didn't. I think it happened 6 or 7 times this year, 8 times. Not, it didn't happen every game. In fact, there were a lot of games where I think he did a really good job. I make a point of saying that too. Absolutely. I thought there were a couple, toward the 2/3 of the point of the season, I thought he did a great job a couple times, particularly managing the end of the first half and getting points on the board.
Let's see here. Yeah, I mean, we're spinning our wheels probably talking about that. Another non-shocking thing Art Rooney said, it's too early for the Steelers to plan for life after Ben Roethlisberger. And I'm 100% on board with that.
Yeah, we both agreed that the idea of drafting a quarterback this year is not a good one.
Right. And now, will they upgrade the backup position? We'll see. But, I mean, let's face it. The Steelers have never, ever since, at least since Roethlisberger's been in town, they have never entered the a regular season without an experienced backup quarterback on the roster. So,
well, they got Landry Jones is now an experienced backup.
Right. So now the question becomes, is he your number two? And Mike Tomlin would not commit to that during his end of the and maybe that's just Mike Tomlin keeping the carrot, dangled out in front of the horse there. But, he wouldn't commit to, he said it depends on what our options are, yada, yada. Do you see this team re-signing either Bruce Gronkowski or Mike Vick?
I've been since midseason. I mean, I think I probably, was one of the first people to talk about this, that, Gronkowski is absolutely, to me, the perfect guy. He's a guy who's familiar with the system. He's a guy who has a good relationship with the quarterbacks in the room. He's a guy who, maybe last on the list of things of importance, but happens to be from Pittsburgh. He's not going to be expensive. He's had success in the NFL. He's athletic. The injury that he had wasn't to his legs. We know he can move around. Assuming he is, physically fit, I think he's absolutely the perfect guy.
And when you look around the rest of the league, the of guys that could quite possibly wind up, or scheduled to be free agents, I mean, do you want Matt Schaub? Do you want Matt Castle? I know you're a Matt Moore fan, but,
Matt Moore lately. I don't know what I think of Matt Moore anymore, but I was a big Matt Moore fan.
Chad Henne. I suppose Chad Henne would be, but even then, Chad Henne would probably be kind of up on the list. In other words, the list out there is not great when it comes to quarterback.
Well, what's your thought? You in Gradkowski's corner?
Yeah, and especially being as how you are probably pretty sure that you can sign him for a 1-year deal for the minimum that comes with a reduced salary cap due to the veteran benefit in the CBA.
Yeah,
so.
No, I'd sign him to a 2-year deal because Landry's going to be, look, I don't know what's going to happen with Landry Jones, but his deal's up after this year. So I'd try to sign him to a 2-year deal so you have a little bit of insurance and maybe a little leverage or, whatever you want to call it. But, yeah.
I don't think teams are going to be lining up to sign Bruce Gronkowski, though, right?
Correct.
So – I mean, it seemed like Charlie Batch went for several years there on a series of 1-year deals for the minimum, and I think you can kind of string Bruce along the same way. Rest assured, neither of us want Mike Vick back, right?
Man, if that happens, I will be the most shocked person in the country.
Yeah, I will as well too. I know there's some Steeler fans, and perhaps some that listen to this podcast that think he's still a better option to be the number two than any of those guys, but it was pitiful. And those interceptions of his could have been 5 or 6 more in the brief time that he played early on in the season. He got away with some seriously bad throws, and people say, well, didn't have enough time in the system, yada, yada, yada. Look, he was there during the preseason. How much time do you need to grasp in offense as a veteran that's been around the league as long as he has?
All right. Excuse me. So I think that's covered most of what Art said. Talked about the rivalry with the Bengals. You know, I think we're, you know, we know that what's going on there. And
hey, let's talk a little bit about what he said about possibly hinting about them being more active in free agency. And I think that's a distinct possibility. Now, do we expect them to go out and sign, you know, the best available cornerback on the market? You know, that's not franchise, you know, that actually does hit free agency? No, I think you'd be foolish to expect that, because it's just not the Steelers' MO when it comes to that. But when you look at this team, actually is probably in the best shape salary cap wise at this point of the year than they've been, you know, since I've been tracking it hard and heavy, you know, like I like to do. And on top of that, we fully expect, you know, this team to restructure the contract of Ben Roethlisberger in the coming weeks. Cameron Hayward also a possibility of that happening, going to him and restructuring that to lower his 2016 cap charge.
Why do you think it's a guarantee to restructure Ben?
Because the amount of time left on the deal. For starters,
but if they're in good shape, if they're in, you know, I think we agree they're in pretty good shape. I mean,
it depends on how much.
Do they need the money?
It depends on how much you intend on spending.
Sure, of course.
You know, and I mean, remember, we're already. Here's a good thing, David DeCastro. That deal's going to get done. That's a slam dunk. His cap number is going to be cut down considerably as a result of that. I don't know where I can't remember where you are in Lawrence Timmons, but he's not going to carry his $15 million cap charge that he has now in 2016. He's not going to be cut either. So I think we both agree that his cap number in some way, shape, or form is going to come down via an extension of some sorts. So there's two players that by extensions alone, Timmons and DeCastro, their cap number's coming down. Cameron Hayward is the most given of being a candidate to have his contract restructured in some shape or form. Ben Roethlisberger, that money's there if you need it. It depends on how much lower you want to go. You would think this team would like to get, 20 million under heading into free agency, right?
I haven't looked at it as hard as you have, so I generally agree with where you go on most of this. I mean, all the guys you talked about are the right guys. So I don't know how much free cap space do they have right now.
And once again, tracking the salary cap in real time is near impossible. But let's say 6 to 7 million under. As we sit here right now, this moment.
Yeah, no, they obviously, you would like to be, I think, you know, 15 is a starting point. That gives you, look, you want to do a deal with a guy, you want to get a Mike Mitchell type. And for me, Dave, and we'll get, you know, we can segue a little bit into draft conversation here in a second, but I think the Steelers need to get one impact player on the defensive side of the ball. They need to find a Will Allen quality guy, or excuse me, not a Will Allen, a Mike Mitchell quality guy, or a, well, why am I drawing a blank on the guy they signed from the Skins, played next to Troy? Ryan Clark type of guy. If they can find a guy like that to play corner or safety, that's going to answer so many of the questions about what they do in the draft, because you got Golson, we're under the grand assumption that they're going to re-sign William Gay. So you get those two deals done, and then it gives you great flexibility, because if you have a plug-and-play starter, then you've got three of your five, really, is what we should call it, three of your five positions spoken for in Gay, the signee, and Mitchell, and you've got Senquez Golson, you've got Cortez Allen, you've got, you know, Ross Cockrell, you've got, you know, we're assuming Antoine Blake, you've got Robert Golden. So you've got a bunch of other guys competing for two spots, and you can go in high in the draft. But it doesn't mean, and I know this is going to annoy people, but it doesn't mean you have to go secondary with the first pick. You can go with the second pick. You can go with the third pick. Or you can go the second and third pick or the first and third pick. But if they were able to get one guy, it gives them flexibility in the draft to go get, you know, up high another defensive end. You know, we'll talk about Jalen Smith, whether he's a guy that we would, the Steelers would look at 25. It means you can look at a tight end more aggressively. It means you can look at an offensive lineman more aggressively. So I just – if they could go into free agency and get one impact guy, Dave, I think it just opens up a world of possibilities in the draft.
Well, I think the key word that you used a couple of times there is flexibility. Just because, let's say they go out and they sign a veteran safety during free agency, that doesn't mean that they're not going to draft a safety.
Of course
it
not.
It just means that you don't have to go into the draft saying we absolutely have to get a safety in the first two rounds.
Right.
And the same with a cornerback. Now, do I expect this team to draft a safety and a cornerback in the first five rounds of the draft? Absolutely, I do. But, I mean, let's face it. And when we talk about first round, I think it really has to be look at the fail rates of the specifically when it comes to first round cornerbacks and safeties. I'm you know, one would think that's one of the riskiest positions, right? Especially on the defensive side of the football.
Just look at Justin Gilbert, man, went eight. You know.
Yeah, I mean, just look at all these former first. Sure, you're going to hit on some of these, but also keep in mind where you're picking as well too. You know, from 25 on down, kind of look at the success rate at corners / safeties picked in that area as well too. Well, actually, this year it'd be 25 to 31 in the first round. But I think what we're trying to convey to the listeners is, yeah, I'm with you. I think one or two not break the bank type situations, but you could definitely see this team addressing both either or both positions during free agency, talking about safety and corner.
Yeah, okay. So
would you, and with that said, you know, there are a lot of speculations about Eric Weddle. Is that a guy that you would consider if, let's per se, you could get him, you know, for an average yearly value? You're not going to pay him more than Mike Mitchell, right, which is $5 million a season, because you don't want to piss off Mike Mitchell running around, right? Let's say you could get Eric Weddle for $3.5 to $4.5
million. What is he, 33?
He's on the wrong side of 30. I want to say he's 32. He is 31. Well, he just turned 31.
You know, I guess my answer is, the short answer is, on a cheap one-year deal, do they think he can still play?
You're not going to get him on a one-year deal, so you can forget about that.
Yeah, no, I don't think I want to go out and sign a free agent post 30. Speed in the secondary is so important. I can't tell you whether Eric Weddle's lost a step or not, but you know, they got their big hitter in Mitchell, and I want a guy who can fly back there next to him. So no, the answer would be no. I'm not signing him.
Well, I mean, you know how I like to track the history on a defensive side. I mean, history says they won't when it comes to outside unrestricted free agents on the wrong side of 30. History says that they won't do that. But however common, as I like to say, if I could get Weddle, I'm trying to remember what the contract that I drew up for. And look, there's going to be competition for Weddle regardless. I mean, he's even though he missed time in 2015 due to a groin injury, you know, he's still marketable because he's not that far gone on the other side. Hey, here's what I drew out for Eric Weddle, David. A yearly average of 4.5 million on a 3-year deal. So what's that total?
That'd be 13 and a half.
Okay, so with I think you could get away with giving him guaranteed money. I mean, look, this is a guy that earned $7.5 million in 2015. Do we agree that he's going to make close to $7.5 million in when he walks away from whoever's table this offseason?
I honestly don't have a good enough sense. I you know, look, I don't often shy away from giving an opinion. I just didn't see Weddle play enough this year. I know he's been a quality player for a long, long time. On the backside of 30 in the secondary, that makes me nervous today. So I really, Dave, I have no idea.
All right, here just in a nutshell, just so you know, I proposed the 3-year average yearly value of $4.5 million, okay, with a $3 million signing bonus and a $2.5 million first-year base salary in 2016. So he would walk away from signing with the Steelers on such a deal with $5.5 million coming to him in 2016. At that point, even if you only had him for one season, he's very cuttable after that because you only have $2 million left over in amortization from a $3 million signing bonus. Laying it out that way, would you still not be inclined to take a shot at him at what I laid out?
Man, I'd certainly run him through the combine. Let's put it that way. I'd want, you know, obviously perfect medicals. I'd want to see him run a 4.5. He's obviously smart enough. That's a huge positive back there. But I'm still inclined, obviously, no. I mean, just because it doesn't matter. You could say, you know, Troy, you could say Weddle, you could say anybody once they hit 30 in the secondary. I'm inclined, no. For offensive lineman, I wouldn't even think twice about it. But, you know, just
and I'm not advocating this. You know, I'm not advocating them doing this. I'm just laying out the possibility where I would be. I got to look at, you know, my duty is to look at this thing at all angles here. And I'll continue going back when people continue to ask me on Twitter about whether or not, you know, someone like Eric Weddle will be a target or whatnot. I keep pointing to the fact that the history of the organization as it relates to them signing outside defensive free agents on the wrong side of 30 is not good. It's just something that they don't normally do. However, you know, we know Mike Tomlin every week during his weekly press conference makes the other team that they're about to play look like Super Bowl champions. He has a lot of praise in there about individual players. And he really went out of his way to praise Eric Weddle, you know, prior to the week 5 game, Monday night game against San Diego Chargers. So I don't want to I guess what I'm trying to say is I don't want to pigeonhole myself as saying this absolutely won't happen. But on the flip side, I wouldn't count on it happening, but I would be okay from a player quality / financial standpoint if the Steelers did something on a 3-year deal with an average yearly value of $4.5 million, as long as the guaranteed money's roughly $5.5 million. Because then you let's say they don't sign. I mean, do you really think that they can find a safety during free agency on the cheap that can come in Pittsburgh and be a starter alongside Mike Mitchell day one?
Well, you know, I'll tell you what I'm going to come back to, and people are going to laugh at me, but I think Robert Golden can play. And
right, I said outside.
Well, no, I wouldn't do it. If there's not an elite guy, if there's not a guy who, you know, look, say whatever you want. I didn't think Mike Mitchell played at a Pro Bowl caliber level, but it doesn't mean that he's not capable of playing at that level for a whole season if he's healthy and things go his way. If you can't sign a guy, look, I think Mike Mitchell's a better player than Robert Golden. We agree with that. But right now, if you're just signing a guy, and right now I don't know how much better I think Eric Weddle is than Robert Golden at this point. I would be happy going into the season with Robert Golden and going and signing a corner. In fact, I would be happier with that because you sign a corner and you got Gay and you got Cockrell and you got Blake and you got Golson, then you're set at the corner position. and then, you know, you go Golden and you go Mitchell and you draft a safety up high, then, and you draft a corner and you hope Doran Grant becomes something, maybe it's not all solved. It's not, you know, quote unquote solved, but I'd rather see him go corner than, because I got some confidence in Robert Golden. Maybe it's completely misplaced.
Well, I mean, there's no doubt that he filled in admirably when Will Allen was down. The thing is, why didn't the coaching staff, I guess the question, and we'll never get the answer to this, is if we perceived him as doing an okay job, why didn't he permanently replace Will Allen?
Yeah, you know, Will Allen did some, you know, the thing about Will Allen that we saw, and we saw this at the end of the year before too. We talked about whether Will Allen should be playing in the playoff game against the Ravens ahead of Troy Polamalu, because Troy might not be 100%. And even if he was 100%, there was a discussion. Will Allen just does some things really well. And in the Bronco game, he was the one guy who got there on the blitz on occasion. He was getting pressure. He can make some big hits, but he also, you know, he missed. He just looked like the one thing that hurt him is he looked like he was a step slow. If Will Allen had that step back, you know, he played some of his better, you know, maybe the best football of his career in the past couple of years, but, you know, missed tackles. And it just seemed like he was boom or bust so many times. And the thing about boom or bust guys, and I much prefer my boom or bust guys be 23. It's the difference between Ryan Shazier and Jarvis Jones right now. We have seen Ryan Shazier absolutely dominate games. So, you know, he has the elite level talent to do it. We've never seen Jarvis Jones do that. We've seen him make a play here and there. We haven't seen Bud Dupree do that. We've seen James Harrison do it, for years. So give me a guy at a young age who's boom or bust so that I know he has the talent. And, you can coach him up and hopefully you don't have the bust side. And a guy at 32, you figure, you know, Will Allen's just – it's kind of – he's receding. And so you're going to be more prone to go the other way with it. But, I thought he did make some plays that were, you know, important.
So if it was up, you'd bring back both Golden and Allen. You'd have the same.
No, I'm not bringing back Will Allen.
All right. Well, you're drafting one regardless.
Yep.
So you're bringing back Golden. You'll have Mitchell. You'll have a draft pick. And, I mean, there's no reason to believe right now that Shamarco Thomas isn't going to be on this 2016
absolutely
roster.
He's going to be on the team. He's a good special teams player. He's cheap. He's going to be on the team.
Is that enough? Can you, Art Rooney talked a lot about wanting to improve that pass defense, right?
Yeah, and you can improve that pass defense a lot by getting somebody who can get home faster on the edge. So that's one way to do it. And then, who knows where Doran Grant's going to be. He might not even be on the 53. I mean, I wouldn't ink Doran Grant in for sure.
No, you can't. Just because he may or may not switch positions, that's a huge undertaking. That would take a full season, one would think. You're just not going to magically have him pop up and be – you shouldn't expect him to magically be solid depth at safety just because he's moving positions. You're right. There's no guarantee that he's even on this roster come final cutdown day, regardless of what position he's at.
Okay, so let me ask you.
What about cornerback now? I mean, you got some, Leon Hall is on the wrong side of 30. You're not going after him. Sean Smith, is probably going to get a lot of attention, right, from the Chiefs?
And I would give him some attention.
Yeah, I suppose that's a possibility. Greg Toler, Greg Toler's really had some bad moments in the NFL.
Where is he last year? Indy?
Colts?
Yeah, no interest. None. Zero interest.
Morris Claiborne, I think the Cowboys picked up his option, if I'm not mistaken. Gerard Powers with Cardinals. I've seen Gerard Powers play some good football, and I've seen him play some bad football.
Yeah, he'd be an interesting guy to look at.
Nolan Carroll, we don't want no part of Nolan Carroll, do you?
No.
Terrence Newman, he's over the hill. Prince Amukamara is an interesting conversation.
How much did he play this year? Did he play? Was he healthy this year finally?
I'm trying to remember how many total. It seemed like he did have some injuries.
He's a high pedigree guy, so that's always something to consider. But how much did he play? How healthy is he?
He played 11 games, started 10.
Yeah. on an absolutely SHI terrible secondary.
You know, so, you know, you're talking about a former first-round draft pick there.
Yep.
You know, so.
I first-round for draft pick, if I remember correctly, too, right?
Yeah, seemed like it. Here's another guy, Patrick Robinson.
Yeah.
Remember, the Steelers even brought him in for a visit last offseason, right?
Yeah, they did. Where'd he end up? Why is he available? Did he sign a one-year deal or something?
Yeah, one-year deal with the Chargers, and he played fairly well, you know, from what I remember.
He'd been in New Orleans before that, right? I'm just whipping.
Yeah, yeah. Originally drafted by the Saints, another former first round pick by the Saints in 2010 out of Florida State. Let's see, what did he do? 2015 appeared in all 16 games, started 10, had one interception. Looks like 43 total tackles there. So probably a guy that's not going to have to break the bank for. Boy, it sure would have been nice to know what the Steelers did, or knowing the Steelers, they wanted to offer him a one-year deal for the minimum last offseason, right?
Yeah.
What did he end up signing with the Chargers for? I can't remember here. $1 million. Let's see, $2 million. He made $2 million. $1.25 guaranteed. So the Steelers definitely came in under that on a one-year deal. You know, so he was given a prove-it deal out there with San Diego, and I thought he proved himself. So you know he's going to cost you more than, you know, $2 million a year probably. You know, where's his market value, you know, at? So I guess what I'm saying is he's the guy that you have to keep in the back of your mind. Adam Jones, you're not going after Adam Jones. You're not going after Charles Tillman. Several people have brought up maybe Trumaine McBride from the Giants. I'm not sure I would go there. Janoris Jenkins, didn't he play a lot down in the box? You know, he's more of a linebacker now than he is a cornerback.
Yeah, he would be a guy who would be interesting to think about.
I mean, once you get, Casey Hayward would be very interesting with the Packers. You know, he fits what the Steelers, you know, kind of look for, those guys coming off that first contract, you know. Definitely, you know, playing with the Packers fits, you know, schematically what the Steelers like to do. Had a pretty decent season last year as well. So, you know, keep your eye on Casey Hayward. Young still. He's still, 26 years old. He really fits the Steelers' M.O. the best as far as kind of locking up a guy for 3 or 4 years. I'm trying to look at this list and.
All right, so let's. I want to ask you my question. It's been my pet question this week, and it's Jalen Smith from Notre Dame. And this guy is measurables probably for a lot of people is going to look like Ryan Shazier, maybe a tad bigger, in the sense that he's 6'3", maybe just a tad heavier at 235, but you know he's not coming in at 255. Mel Kiper in the mid December. Before the, you know, New Year's bowl games, had him as the number two player on his big board. He is a guy who I think can play both inside and outside. Obviously tore up his knee. The early returns are that, you know, much like Todd Gurley, he will fully return to health and be a guy who just a dynamite playmaker at Notre Dame, a guy who can fly. You know, he can run with sacks and tight ends. He can rush off the edge. If he's there at 25 and you are guaranteed not to have him for half a season, maybe not to have him for a full season, but he's a player who, you know, I don't want to throw out names like Lawrence Taylor or things like that, but he is maybe a Von Miller type of playmaker, who you're just not going to find at 25. You might get lucky with a Le'Veon Bell at 48 or whatever they drafted him, but you're not going to find a guy like Smith at 25 unless there's an issue. And this is obviously a serious issue with the injury. if he were on the board, Dave, which where this team is, and we can talk about windows and all that other stuff. And like Art said, look, you know, Ben, we're not looking for Ben's replacement. I think Ben's got 5 or 6 years left, so I'm not really looking at Ben as the answer. The Steelers didn't get anything out of their second or fourth round picks this year. The fourth because he wasn't good enough. The second because he was hurt all year. They still made it to, you know, probably should have made it to the championship game, but, you know, made the playoff, blah, blah, blah. If he's there and he is the guy that you think he is as a, you know, a dynamite playmaker, you know, the best player on the board by far, would you take him with the thought that, you know, essentially there's a decent chance that you got to redshirt him for the year?
I'm not ready to say it at this stage because of the – I think I've watched one game on him. I'm not convinced he can – and with that limited knowledge, I'm not convinced he – I'm not convinced he could play 3-4 outside linebacker in the NFL because of that. My initial thought was he's a – if he plays outside, it would be in a 4-3. And, of course, obviously could probably play inside in both a 4-3 and a 3-4.
I kind of think of him as – I mean, I kind of prefer him as Timmons' replacement. And so you got Shazier and him inside, and it's just absolute dynamite. So I know a lot of people think of him as an outside guy, but I kind of like him thinking of him as an inside guy. But, okay, anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
I it's too early for me to answer that question for you. I mean, you got to remember here that the season ended 2 weeks ago, and I've watched more than one game on about 20 prospects so far. So that's where I'm at. So give me another 2 weeks to go back, over his film and get a better. I don't want to take what Mel Kiper said as law. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. No, I understood.
Because, I mean, look, how many times have we seen these guys that come April, you know good and well some of these quote-unquote draft analyst experts haven't watched a lick of film
on these guys. Kiper's not one of those guys, so.
Well, I've differed with him even after.
Sure, he can't have different opinions, but he's.
Right. But I understand the attraction to him for sure because of him being an athletic, you know, specimen. The injury was, man, how unfortunate was that injury the way, you know, it happened. And correct me if I'm wrong, yeah, he got the ACL and the MCL in that one. Hopefully they were clean, clean tears, and he should be I wouldn't expect it, and you wouldn't either, obviously. I think you kind of set it up. You wouldn't expect anything out of him his rookie season. So that leaves you if you did draft him in the first round. It just, I mean, when have the Steelers ever done that, though?
Well, when have you had to change? Look, it's unique situations. You don't have a, you know, there's no data to go back on for teams and say, you know, somebody does this as a pattern. It's not, doesn't happen.
And, of course, there's always, every year there's always a possibility that your first-round draft pick tears his knee up in training.
Right.
We saw that with Fowler, right?
So we saw it this year. Who was the kid from Jacksonville, number three pick?
Fowler.
Yeah, Fowler. Bang. Missed the whole season.
Right. So, you know, there's no guarantee. And, in fact, there was no chance he was going to play during his rookie season because of
how he did it in May, right?
Because he did it early on in the offseason there. So, unfair question for me to answer at this point.
Okay. So I don't know if there's just on the games,
Now, let's talk about those championship games real quick.
Yeah, just look, I hope for Carson Palmer's sake his finger doesn't work because he was terrible in the playoffs. I mean, just awful. He was awful in the first game against Green Bay, and he was worse against Carolina. Credit to Carolina. They came out and smoked him. You know, it wasn't a game. There's not much to talk about in that one.
He made a lot of bad decisions. Couldn't hold on. 7 turnovers. Go back and look at all of his interceptions too. Not great decisions. He didn't get help when he was on target. He didn't get help. You know, Larry Fitzgerald a couple drops in that game as well too, right? So he didn't have a ton of help. And also when you get behind, when you get down on the scoreboard that quick, it really takes away a lot of things that you want to do. It doesn't take away from the season that he had, but. Let's face it, this guy has been brutal in the playoffs, right?
Brutal. So In the other game, let me ask you this. Did you take anything away? And, you know, I talked about this on my show yesterday with Jerry Dulac, and I chastised Pittsburgh media. And I always laugh when people who have radio shows that bring national people on to talk about Pittsburgh teams. It's like, if you don't know the team better than the national guy, get out of the business. I mean, the national guy's got 32 teams to cover. You better know it, you know, better. One of the things that we saw was we start to see this in the draft, and people are going to tell you team needs. And I kind of chuckle every time I see, you know, one of these. And again, it's not easy to know all 32 teams. I'm not discrediting people who do this. They're obviously doing the best they can. But when people say the Steelers need a draft at left tackle, I laugh. I mean, I literally laugh. I mean, Ali Villanueva is the left tackle, period, full stop, end of story. They might need a guard. They might need a lineman. They might draft for depth. They got Mike Adams coming back. They don't need a left tackle. Did you take anything away from the Steelers' offensive line's performance because of what you saw, how you saw just New England get smoked?
Yeah, I mean, against two guys at the Steelers, and DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller, the Steelers handled well. Well, in the two times that they met him this season. Ware miss that first game?
Against the Steelers.
Yeah, but I mean, still, Marcus Gilbert, nobody, he's still not getting enough. That's you know, the further you get away from the 2015 season, Marcus Gilbert was a Pro Bowl snub, plain and simple.
I don't know if he's a Pro Bowl snub on the.
He's
playing right tackle. The rest of the guys are playing left tackle.
Go back and look at the people that he went up against, though. I mean, he went up against
really,
a lot of.
You got to go look at the other eight guys and who you're taking on. I mean, look at the list. It's a pretty good list. And it's the same with Cam Hayward. You look at the list and you go, okay, yeah, Cam had a great year. He wasn't as good at the end of the year. But you're not taking any of those other eight guys off.
Okay. Well, you should have been a first alternate, being as how half of them back out anyway.
Yeah.
but to answer your original question, yeah. I mean, it really gives you an appreciation of how well the offensive line, Cody Wallace and all, played against the Broncos twice, because Tom Brady was hit more times, 20-something times in that game. Again, Marcus Cannon, boy, the Patriots really have to be concerned about that kid right now, because Von Miller wore him like a hat, you know?
Von Miller, man. How much would you like to have a Von Miller?
You don't tease these people, man. You know it's not going to happen.
Man, Von Miller now, is the guy. That's why I'm saying, you know, I'm not gonna say that, well, you know, who knows Jalen Smith, what he'll be.
Pressure's more important than secondary play.
For sure.
People won't want to admit that, but and look, and the Broncos have a great secondary in Tlaib and Chris Harris Jr. I'm not going to say that hasn't played a role, because just go look at the amount of deep passes that they allowed all season, yada yada yada. But pressure, give me consistent pressure with four men, and the Steelers proved this for how many years? Give me consistent pressure with four men, and I can make do on the back end.
Yeah.
And it's just plain and simple. And that's something, you know, Art Rooney talked about, you know, when Art Rooney talked Thursday about how this pass defense has to get better, you know, he still said that this pass defense ranked in the bottom, well down in near the bottom half of the league. As far as pass defense goes, but that just doesn't mean that the secondary, that all those problems are right on the secondary. And yes, the amount of sacks went up last year. Yes, the amount of turnovers went up last year. Keith Butler should be patted on the back, and Art Rooney did, I think, on Steelers Live Thursday evening there. But the lack of consistent pressure and how they had to achieve that pressure by sending multiple guys is where this team needs to get better. And right now, unless Bud Dupree makes a huge, huge jump in his second season, there's no reason to think that this pass rush is going to be that much better in 2016, right?
Yeah, I'm with you on all that.
Is Bud Dupree ever going to be a double-digit guy?
Well, I mean – you know, looking at the crystal ball.
The hope is.
I mean, there's nothing to see we've seen from Jarvis. Look, Jarvis Jones plays the run pretty well. He had an okay season, blah, blah, blah. They're gonna definitely pick up his option. Are either of these guys in today's NFL going to be – they're not going to be Von Miller, okay, period. So are they going to be double –
Is Anthony Chickalo going to be Von
Miller?
No,
God, no. You know, there's nobody's going to be Jason Gilden. Nobody's going to be James Harrison on this roster right now. So that's why, you know, if they feel like a guy like Smith, wherever they think he can play, to me, even if you redshirt a guy, if you're getting a talent that you can plug in for 10 years that will be an elite-level player, you have to think about it.
Do you go out and sign one this year?
Well, you know.
And I mean, the premier ones are going to be top money.
Yeah, $15 million for Von Miller. Would I sign him? Yeah, I'd sign him.
But we know that's not going to happen.
Well, I don't know. I don't think they'll get a chance, but.
Right. He's not going to. The Broncos would be foolish to let him get away.
Yeah, but I'd pay him $15
million. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to pay. He's an impact player, that's for sure.
Yeah, he's good. All right. Well, we'll come back. We'll talk some Super Bowl. We'll get into we'll talk a little bit more about what happened in this past season with the championship games and stuff. But we got Senior Bowl this week.
Absolutely. I think Alex has done a good job, and Alex has not done kind of recapping that. He took on the full experience. He saw a lot of players. I think I'll be doing a special edition with him now that he'll be back in Pittsburgh later on this evening. So look for that, another special edition later on this evening on this Friday. And just look for more and more interviews and recaps from Alex as far as Senior Bowl goes. A lot of guys. Noah Spence is a guy, right? Where'd he go to Eastern? Is it Eastern Kentucky where he went?
Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't know.
I'm trying to. He started his career at Ohio State, and of course got kicked off of the team there. He's one guy that really fits a 4-3 outside linebacker. Kind of need Eastern Kentucky is where he went. He's one guy I'm excited to look at. Kevin Byard, the safety out of Middle Tennessee State, is a guy I look forward to. I think if the North doesn't win this game, something's wrong. I think they've got the better roster on this too. So if you want to chase the man around this weekend, David, that would be my recommendation as far as that goes. Plenty more to talk about with Alex coming up with David next week as well, too. You can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. You can follow David on Twitter at David M. Todd. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. We still accept donations during the off season as well, too.
Damn right.
SteelersDepot.com. You'll see the donate button up there top in the navigation bar. David, let's do this again Monday.
As always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.